All right, we're in MSR world, and just recently, this week on Channel 9, which is a show on Channel 9, discussed the release of Show, Project Show, and Niners were like, cool, we'd like to learn more about this. So, hey, here we are, with the person behind it. Tell us a little bit about what it is. So, first, let's begin with you. Who are you, and what's your story?
So, I'm John Platt. I'm a research area manager here in Microsoft Research, and I work with a bunch of teams, the machine learning group, the computer vision group, and the computer graphics group.
Nice. All doing very interesting things. Mm-hmm. So, Show, what's going on here?
Okay, so Show is actually a tool we built for ourselves because we were frustrated. A lot of people here use the CLR and .NET and C# to get their work done.
Yeah.
And when we also hand code to the product groups. But a lot of scientists want, including ourselves, want numerics and plotting and kind of a light interactive read, eval, print loop. Mm. And so we were using MATLAB, but it was really a pain to kind of interface between MATLAB and C# and .NET. So we said, how hard can it be? Well, little do we know. But about that same time when we were getting super frustrated and wanted to build something, Jim Hooganen joined Microsoft.
Yes.
And so he came with Iron Python and said, oh, this is perfect. This is really great because now we can build on top of this to really make an experience that we like, that we want to use, and make a whole bunch of libraries that people who do C# or .NET can also use. So Show is sort of, you want to swing it around here? Show has some different pieces, right? So we'll see the panel here. So it's all built on top of .NET, and there is the part about Iron Python. So we built a kind of a friendly, nice to use, easy to use console on top of Iron Python. Yeah. So there's sort of like the Pythonic specific piece.
Okay.
But the rest of this is actually, these are just sort of, library, .NET libraries. So what we did is we added, there were some parts of the .NET that we needed. We wanted some fast numerics, like linear algebra, and we wrapped the Intel MKL libraries.
Mm-hmm.
And SQL BI essentially is a plotting package that was released in .NET, and we kind of wrapped it to make it easy to use. And we put some extra packages on top, things like, optimization. And now we, in fact, released a bit more experimentally. We have some HPC and some Azure packages. So this is actually used around inside of Microsoft a fair amount. Okay, we have a couple hundred users inside of Microsoft. And I would say, just judging from the questions, about half the people don't use Python, half the people do. The other half are, .NET developers, and they want to use, they want to call into plotting or numerics or use maybe some of these packages.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole thing kind of works together, but it also can be separated. So if you don't like Python, you don't have to use Python. If you like Python, you can use Python.
Excellent.
So
I was going to say, another very sort of excellent managed language for composing, mathematical computation, whatever, is F#.
Yep. Right? So this part, F#, because these are all managed libraries.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an F# user, you can call down to any of these pieces.
Excellent.
So some F# users around Microsoft actually have called into these packages. So they're managed packages. There's some unmanaged code inside of Intel MKL that we wrap, but we kind of hide that and make it look like a pure managed experience.
Okay. And there's nothing wrong with native code at all. That's cool. So do you, could I use this from C++? Or I'd have to make my own weird sort of marshalling junk?
You could use it from C++ CLI.
Yes, of course.
So, in fact, a lot of what we write here in numerics actually is written in C++ CLI because it does go down to native code.
So if someone actually does use C++ CLI, ladies and gentlemen?
I use C++ CLI.
Right on. What do you think of it?
I like C for exactly this thing where you have to mix native and managed code. It's really very, very nice.
Excellent. All right. So now we sort of understand why you made it. But again, Python, you chose Python because you like Python.
Well,
talk to me a little bit more about that.
About Python.
For people out in the audience who, were curious about that.
So part of it was that Jim showed up at about the same time we were doing it, so that was very convenient, and that it had a very nice Iron Python itself has a very deep .NET integration. So part of that, part of the coolness is, I can just take it, and I can show you in the demo, I could just take a managed DLL and just go load, and then poof, now it's part of my Python environment, and I don't have to, you know, there's no swig, there's no max if you're used to that from MATLAB, there's no interface overhead, you just go poof, and it's part of it. Part of it for Python, originally, is it's a really well-designed language, I think. So Guido von Rossum is pretty clever. It scales all the way from, oh, I just want to walk up and type something simple, and it scales all the way up to something pretty serious. In other words, it might not be able to, you know, writing hundreds of thousands of lines, it might, you know, you might want a strong type language, but it really, you can write serious things with classes and delegates and all the sort of object-oriented stuff that you like. So it's a nice language that scales from sort of introductory here, this is your first programming class, up to stuff, you know, doing serious programming.
At MSR, yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So I'll show you a demo in a bit.
Okay, cool. So now, what does it do? What does show do? I mean, you mentioned it has a command line where you can play around with mathematical formulas, whatnot, but you can also do these really nice graphical representations of data, visualizations.
Right. Let me show you it's time to do a brief demo.
Perfect.
Oh, by the way, there's the show team.
I'm going to zoom in on these guys. Hi, guys.
That's Aaron. A picture of them. Aaron and me. Aaron Renshaw, me, Chuck Jacobs, and Sumit Basu.
Excellent.
What does show do? Well, it's a read eval print loop. So this is actually Iron Python with a nice console, so you know, you can, this is the canonical thing. You can have, let's see. Let's start up the demo here. So I'm gonna, because watching typing is boring, so watch over here.
Okay.
You can, for example, you can read in, so we have ways of sort of doing ingress of data. So I just slurped in a CSV file, so we have different sort of hooks to read different files and things like databases. Mm-hmm. You have a little bit of visualization, so here it's kind of hard because maybe the font's too small, but you can see, you can sort of use a data grid view, and this is the .NET data grid view that we wrapped. And again, this is this data is not terribly structured, right? It has integers and strings and all sorts of stuff. You can slice and dice your data like you can in Python. So here I'm taking the columns of my data object and splitting it into four different variables, countries, populations, and areas. So you can also do other viz. We have, this is the visualization that's wrapping the SQL BI tool. So this is in system.data.visualizations.
Nice.
And then there's little bits of math. The math stuff wraps the... a lot of what you do when you do math is you eventually call down into linear algebra. So a lot of this all calls down to very fast multi-core MKL code. So here's, for example, here we just fit a polynomial degree one, i.e. aligned that data between the log of the population and the log of the areas. This says, by the way, plot log populations versus log areas and put blue dots on it, so it's a little bit MATLAB-like. So now I can look at the coefficients, and in fact there they are. Now I can I'm going to plot a fit line. So in fact, what this is I say make a double range. This is something we added to Python because you want doubles, you know, from 0 to 25, step by half. Turn it into one of our objects called a double array. And here it is.
Nice.
Now it feels like a nice visualization. Let's see if I can pop this back up. So here I've plotted a line. Which is the best fit line through this through the log of the populations and the areas of the countries, and so you can see you can do kind of numerics kind of things by calling, you know, built-in functions or writing your own code. You can sort of mix data visualization. You can kind of read it in. Mm-hmm. Also, you can see that you can call into .NET stuff, so it's all just there. So there, I've just created a form object. In fact, here's a blank form object. I just did show dialog.
Nice.
I guess so, because I'm blocking, I'll just quit out of that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool. One other nice thing is because it's built on .NET, you get all the cool reflection bits. So one thing I like to do, I can tell you how I work. So again, I don't know if you can see this, but this is a little bit like what you get in PowerShell, where you can do introspection on this object F, and this is all the things you can do on a form. And then if you want to say, well, gee, I've got a little search engine. I don't know. Can you see this?
Yeah.
Button. So like here it says, what lives on a form? Well, there's an accept button, a cancel button, and a help button properties.
Nice.
So that's kind of fun. So actually, what I do, the way I work with Show, I actually do it for my day-to-day work.
Mm.
I tend to build my algorithms in C sharp because I like the strongly typed stuff when I work on sort of the core math algorithm. Mm-hmm. And then I do experiments in Python. So I write my experimental code, like my outer loops, to try things out and plot and sort of mess around in Python. So it's a very sort of light language for manipulating data and trying things out. Mm. And it's really nice. I mean, Python's really nice because you can go between the two worlds. In fact, if someone, we have a demos. In fact, let's see if I have this. Hopefully this will work. We added this to, for example, if someone runs up and hands you a C-sharp file, mm-hmm. like, I don't know what it does, and then you go, you know, import, I think it's called my stuff, import add stuff. There we go. So now I can look. So someone runs up and gives you a C-sharp file, mm-hmm. and then now you can just import it into Iron Python, and now you can introspect and just find out, oh, there's an object called myAdder. What can it do? Nice. Oh, look, it has a hello method. So then I can go back over here and say addStuff.myAdder.hello. Oh, notice, by the way, I don't know if you can tell, I was hitting tab, so you got all the tab completions.
Yes.
It takes one argument. What does it take? Tab. Oh, an int. 43. I don't know. Oh. Mm. Oh, and of course, there goes my phone.
don't use the number 43.
Don't use. In fact, that's what it does. It calls my cell phone.
Perfect.
Anyway, so I'd have to go back and look at what the code did. But you can mess around. If someone hands you a weird DLL, you can go, you know, load that thing.dll, and it will load it up into Python, and you can sort of play with it.
Awesome.
Oh, in fact, here we go. I think it's not static, so you can make a myAdder. And you can go m.hello, 42, so it really... Nice.
Very, very cool.
So it's a really nice way of sort of both developing in .NET. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. So I develop in C#, the core algorithms, and then kind of experimenting and playing mm-hmm. out in the Python world. Other people, like Sumit, the way he likes to work is he likes to develop all of his stuff in Python, and then he will harden it into C#.
Excellent.
I'm going to shut off my phone.
That's a good ring.
Thank you.
Very cool. I mean, there's also interesting possibilities would be to essentially use this inside of your C# application. So, for example, I could just write an app that calls into your plotting code.
Yes. So, we have, if you permit me.
Sure, of course.
I had a little.
You can use PowerPoint in this case.
Okay. let's see. You can actually, from show, let's see, using show libraries from C#.
Yeah.
So here you just say, using show and s.visualization, here's our class, double array, it's totally managed. It's a random array of 10 by 10. Mm-hmm. Multiply the matrix by its transpose, compute a singular value decomposition, and then show a plot. So yeah, so it's just an easy way. So there's other people in my group who say, I like C#. I want to stay in C#. I like Visual Studio. I want to stay totally within Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. And they still manage to do math and do plotting and stuff, and they're pretty happy. So I think the F# people would also like this.
Absolutely. So let me ask you a question, just to step back a little bit. Mm-hmm. You are a mathematician?
I'm a computer scientist.
You're a computer scientist.
Uh-huh.
And how long have you been at MSR?
I've been at Microsoft Research for, what has it been, 13 years now.
Wow, very nice. Mm-hmm. And what are some of your other areas of research, just so people out there get to know a little bit more about you,
sure.
as opposed to just the technology that's super cool that you've created?
So actually, my field of expertise in the last, 15, 20 years is machine learning.
Nice.
So it's ways of sort of building programs by collecting statistics about the world. And the reason why we built Show was that this is a way of sort of pre-processing the data before you do machine learning. Mm. And we actually have, C# machine learning libraries that we plug in, but mostly we built this to kind of sort of muck around with the data before we even get to the machine learning. So
interesting. So let's talk a little bit about machine learning, just to go off on a nice tangent.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between machine learning and sort of directed statistical analysis? I mean, isn't that what it is?
You could think of machine learning as sort of statistics on steroids. that it's sort of aggressively building big models to represent big data sets.
Okay.
So, but it is a branch of statistics, but it tends to make very complex models on very large data.
Okay.
So we try to attack problems. For example, last year, a bunch of us from the group won the Yahoo Ranking Challenge. So Yahoo Research set up this system that they set up this challenge. Like, here's a data set, and you have to learn a function to learn the preference model. So then you have to learn a function that says, here's an item, and here's some features of the item. Now learn to rank them according to some criteria. Mm-hmm. In other words, someone liked this more than that. Mm-hmm. So, and then try to make all the ones that people like up at the top and the ones that people like less. And so we won. It was like about 1,000 entries
nice.
Of people entered, and we won. So that's sort of the kind of machine learning we do.
Cool. And of course, you know, with the kind of the search engine weirdness going on out in the real world, I mean, that's what a search engine does as well. I mean, mm-hmm. you have to incorporate that type of model to understand intention and rankings and all this stuff. So very, very cool. Now, going back to show specifically, why did you name it show?
Oh, well, because it shows you things.
Fair enough.
It was, yeah.
I thought it was some sort of, like, you know, symbolic hexadecimal, you know.
Well, it is an obscure letter in.
Yes.
Let's see if we can find it. Hold on.
Very important question, of course.
Yes, know. It is an obscure letter if you type, if you go. And you find it is, in fact, an obscure letter that was in Greek. Mm. People don't know about this, but there was apparently the sh sound in Greek, which was very obscure, yeah. was represented by this letter called sho.
Excellent.
But that's actually not why we named it, but we sort of backfit the
thing. I like that. Very cool. Now, let's talk a little bit about scale.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have... If I want to use show to do some sort of, you know, I don't know, some sort of mathematics over a really large data set,
mm-hmm.
do I run into problems? Is it still usable? I mean, obviously that's what you're doing.
Right.
You're not doing these little simple things. You're
right.
actually targeting that huge data set. You mentioned something about the Intel MKL.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly you're doing parallelization. You have a nice little library, native library,
right.
to help you with the concurrency and parallelism and asynchrony. Not asynchrony, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, yes.
So, talk to me about that. I mean, how hard have you pushed this thing?
So, show is designed to be an in-memory analysis engine, fundamentally. So, the matrices Intel works on are all in-memory. So, what I tend to do is there's two things you can do. You can sort of make your box, you can scale up. And that's what I do. I have these boxes, and we have these boxes that have, you know, 16 gig, 32 gig, and 64 gig. That kind of, you know, those kind of box sizes. Mm-hmm. And so that works pretty well, because then everything's in memory, and so you just have the memory bandwidth to worry about as opposed to maybe the disk bandwidth. Mm-hmm. The other thing you can do, and we do this less often, well, okay, so there's that. There's you can scale out mm-hmm. with embarrassing parallel right now in show by using these HPC and Azure packages that we also kind of co-release. So then we go out and tie into HPC to do embarrassing parallel or Azure.
Nice.
And that's how we scale out. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, it's .NET, right? Mm-hmm. So if .NET, you can manipulate things like Stream Insight or SQL,
yes.
anything that is a scalable data solution that mm-hmm. Has sort of a .NET front end or .NET mm-hmm. representation, you can kind of play with mm-hmm. from show. So if you have some giant, Teradata sized thing,
mm-hmm.
then you can if you have .NET code to manipulate it, like with streaming, mm-hmm. show can do that.
Excellent. So I mean, you could use Rx, for example, or you could use. We just learned recently about TPL Dataflow, right?
Mm-hmm.
The task parallel library.
Mm-hmm.
I could use that with this if I wanted to, and
I could
just send off a bunch of tasks or use the block models for TPL data flow,
mm-hmm.
which is actually really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And this being the very simple interface with which I can program, and if I like Python or not.
Right.
But you should. Very, very, very cool. I'm still trying to think of, like, how do people actually... Can they use this in their applications today? I mean, you guys have a special license?
Yeah. So what we did was It's still experimental. So, yes. I mean, we've used it internally, actually, for a few years, but it's still, you know, it's still sort of our own personal tool.
Yeah.
So we released it so that any non-commercial user can just use it. Mm-hmm. And any commercial user can use it inside. Just please don't redistribute it. Don't package it into a product and ship it, because it's not ready for that. But it's certainly ready for sort of personal data analysis and playing and experimenting with .NET.
Excellent. And perfect. So, hey, I just wanted to come in quick tell. We had a few questions from Niners that I've already addressed.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was the first question I asked you, I mean, which was, why Iron Python, right? Mm-hmm. Iron Python is no longer officially supported by Microsoft,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't mean it's dead. It means it's now an open source project, right?
Correct.
A shared source project, of which you guys are probably adding value and mm-hmm. whatnot. And it's actually a very performant version of Python
mm-hmm.
that runs on the CLR.
That's right.
.NET. It takes advantage of all that nice stuff that you get with the huge base class library.
That's right. That's really why we did it, because we just, you know, we wanted to access all that stuff, and our developer friends also wanted to access and share code with them. So we're constantly, you know, trading C# code back and forth. So that's why we wanted something that was light and playful and yet could still interoperate with .NET.
Excellent. One question I have in terms is like PowerShell,
mm-hmm.
which is also light and flexible,
mm-hmm.
and you get to do the sort of Unix shell-like commands. Mm-hmm. But you could also do mathematical commands in PowerShell as well, hooking into like your F# libraries that you can call from PowerShell,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, blah. So you could use PowerShell and this if you wanted to, correct? Or would that be weird?
It might be weird because there's
two shells.
Well, no, you don't even have to use, again, you can not use the Python, you can use the packages, but PowerShell has this notion of pipes and object streams, which is somewhat different from Show's, because you saw one, I don't know if you saw Double Array, it's sort of the basic core class of Show is the matrix, which you can stream. We have iterators, like you can iterate over rows, but it isn't, I mean, someone has to do some work to kind of really mesh them very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So it is theoretically possible, but there aren't, you know, there isn't a very smooth transition.
Yeah. And it doesn't really make sense, but I want
to ask you. I think it would make sense. We just haven't put the work into it yet to actually make it really slick and smooth.
Perfect. So this is good because it's nice to see a really interesting implementation or use of Iron Python, because I think we sort of struggled with that in the past,
mm-hmm.
as far as like, hey, you know, if you write Python version 2. blah 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 blah, whatever it was that was sort of where Python, we were mm-hmm. in line with Python at some version snapshot, like we were with Ruby,
mm-hmm.
right? We also had Iron Ruby. There wasn't really that great example of here's something very cool that we've done, at least not that I saw. It's unfortunate this came out after the project was finished, but so what? It's a beautiful use of that technology. It's nice to see, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, thank you.
Cool. And as far as like your specific research in machine learning, what are some of the things you're working on these days? I mean,
sure. One of the things I worked on
that
recently,
we can talk about publicly, of course.
Yeah. Well, so in MSR, we like to publish our work because we actually like to get feedback from people. It's very valuable for us to be part of an academic community, and you know, it, sort of in, the way science progresses is by sort of public discussion of work. So we really like to publish and talk about what we're doing.
Yeah.
One of the things I published in October of 2010 was this fun thing where you're trying to get this something we call a translingual document representation. Can I draw on the board?
Yes,
here?
Absolutely.
Okay. This is just I'll do a quick.
Cool. Good.
So if you have a document in English and you have a document in Spanish, ideally, in fact, we can get pretty far along to this. You'd like to have some transformation of these two documents. Let's say that they're rough translations of each other. In fact, we looked at Wikipedia. Let's say this is an article in Wikipedia in English and in Spanish. They're about the same thing, but they're not direct translations of each other. What you'd like is sort of, you know, some transformation, you know, English and Spanish, so that they both kind of approximately go to the same vector. So you turn a document, which has a bunch of words into it, into essentially a double array or a double vector, so that the meaning is preserved in this double vector, but the language that it's expressed in is actually not. So in other words, if I take two things that mean roughly the same thing, they get mapped to the same vector, and if they mean different things, they get mapped to different vectors.
Mm.
And then you can do stuff like classification, or you can do retrieval on top of that. So there's a fun bit of math to kind of design this transformation.
Cool.
cool.
So that's in fact, I did that in show, by the way.
You did?
So, yes. It turns out to learn this transformation, I had to do eigen decomposition of a 20K by 20K matrix.
Wow.
And I did that in show with that, called into the MKL stuff, and it fit on my desktop in 16 gigabytes of memory.
Amazing.
So
very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, man. Well, hey, it's been nice to meet you and to learn more about show, and we got to see the picture of the other people on the team.
And it's research.microsoft.com/show, S-H-O.
Excellent, and we'll also, of course, link to that, and people will start playing with it. And have
some
feedback
for you. Yeah, please, let us use it, let us know what it's like.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.